was to see you in the places we would go, like your face is painted on the walls. I've been trying to forget all the moments that we spent, 'cause now I do it on my own. Oh, you and I were like this summer, but now it's
good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another show here at WWDB 860 AM Talk Radio. My name is Reverend Lee West, and I'm your host for A Path to Healing. We all need a way to heal. We all need a way to get back to our normal way of doing things and living our life the best that we can, especially when we're grieving after a loss. But before I get into the show, I want to make a couple of announcements. I'm happy to say that my first show in the new year, or maybe my second show, one of the shows, we'll be having Coach Damian Brockington. Damian Brockington is a coach, head coach football at Frankfort High School, located here in Philadelphia. He is the first African-American head coach to lead the team to a all-winning season, and he was just honored by the Eagles as Coach of the Year. And I'm going to sit down and just talk with him and find out exactly what it is he said to these young men to help them to understand the importance of putting down the gun and picking up a football, the leadership that he uses, and how he instilled positiveness into these young men's lives. As a retired police officer, I've worked Frankfort High School, and it's one of the schools that I truly adore. It's where I got my beginning, and I used to hate looking forward to summer vacation or extended holidays because you always got that phone call that one of your students was shot and killed. So I just want to talk to Damian, Coach Damian, and just, you know, give him, first of all, congratulations for his winning season, being Coach of the Year, and also being honored by the Philadelphia Eagles. Also, if you're not doing anything on Saturday between the hours of 3 and 6, come on down to Salt and Light Church, 5736 Chester Avenue, Philadelphia, PA, 19143. Our host will be Miss Yolanda Jennings, and we're doing something a little different where we're coming together to honor survivors, those who have lost loved ones, but we're not going to do it on a sad note. We're not going to share stories about how they were killed and when they were killed and what we're going through. We're just coming for a light celebration of life and those of us that have remained and are grieving, but we're coming out to put a smile. We're going to have music, food, a live DJ. It's going to be a good time. That's going to be at Salt and Light Church, 5736 Chester Avenue, hosted by Yolanda Jennings. If you can make it, you're going to have a good time. On the last show, we were talking about secondary loss. And secondary loss can be a loss of respect for self. Secondary loss can be having a boundary, a loss of saying what happens to your body, feelings like you don't belong, or maybe you do belong. But at any rate, these kind of things can still cause grief, cause issues, cause pain and problems. So today we're going to add a little more to that, because one of the things that's very important as you're going through a grieving process, whether it's because of death, whether it's because of a death that may be pending, you know, because a lot of times we get a phone call and say, listen, you need to call the family. Your loved one may have a week to live. A loved one may have an hour to live, or what have you. Get the family down here. So that loss has not happened, but it's coming, and you begin to grieve at that loss. But as you are grieving, as you are going through, some of the things that you need to do is, number one, be kind to yourself. During this time, you are being dealt some immense challenges. Give yourself the amazing love you give to others. You know, in the next paragraph, it talks about, you know, what would you say to one of your loved ones who was losing someone? How would you approach them? What kind words would you use? What would you do for encouragement? because these are things that you need to be doing with yourself as well. You deserve to prioritize your feelings during this time. It is not selfish, rather healthy and imperative. You deserve to root for yourself just as you would for those around you. Don't stop thinking about yourself. Don't put yourself at the bottom of the list. Right now, you know, for me, and I'm going to use myself as an example, losing my daughter, I'm sorry, but right now I am the priority. Because if I am not where I should be mentally or emotionally, I am no good to myself and I'm no good to my family. So we have to think about ourselves and make sure that we're in the right frame of mind. You deserve to root for yourself just as you would those around you, just what you would do with someone else who's going through grief. You need to do for yourself. Remind yourself of that which makes you grateful. What makes you grateful? What makes you thankful? What makes you, what humbles you? This is not to undermine the hardship that you are currently going through, but to help as a reminder that there is some light in your life. All is not lost. Touching base with those who make you happy or getting involved with things that make you feel fulfilling and maybe good for you may help you promote feelings of joy. Listen, I know from experience that it's hard to want to get out and have fun. I know from experience that you can't just sit around and laugh and tell jokes when you're in the midst of grief, when you're in the midst of losing a loved one. However, it is important that you take this opportunity to continue to strive to move forward during this time of grief. If you let yourself get caught up in a situation of emotional disturbance or feelings, it's going to drag you down. The suicide rate is high. You're causing issues between you and your wife or another loved one. Anger sets in. You don't want to be bothered. You want to close yourself up in a room. You don't want to go out and do things. Somebody says, hey, let's go out and have dinner. Let's go out and, you know, see a movie. And no, I don't want to do that. Sometimes it could be because these things may remind you of the loved one that you lost. A perfect example, before my daughter was murdered, her thing and my thing was Taco Bell. We loved Taco Bell. That was our spot. We could sit in Taco Bell, eat, and talk for hours. However, once my daughter was murdered, I have not been to a Taco Bell since. Matter of fact, I think I've been once, and that was through the drive-thru. I have not gone into a Taco Bell to sit and eat because it just stirs up too much emotions, too many feelings. Now, if my son or one of my other sons says, hey, Dad, can we go to Taco Bell? I would take them. But for me to just go and sit in Taco Bell, it's not going to happen. I'll be sitting there eating and my taco shells become soggy because I'm just tearing up too much. So find your comfort zone. Find what you can deal with and what you can handle. The other thing is engage in positive self-talk. If one of your loved ones was going through a loss, what type of things would you say to them? Because this is important, because you have to reflect on that and say, you know, if this was Tom or Frank or John and they were going through this, what would I say to them? And why can't I redirect those things to me, to myself, to make me feel good? Would you think that they are selfish, sensitive, or overreacting? Probably not, because this is your family and you love them. You don't deserve to hear these things from yourself. So you wouldn't say them to other people. Don't say these kind of things to yourself. It is easy to get in a rut of negative self-talk. This is a normal reaction, but you deserve your own nurturing words during this time. If you are struggling with negative self-talk, it may be helpful to write down a negative and balance it with a positive. Simply writing these thoughts down can help to gain a different perspective. One of the things that I tell the people in our group, journaling, journal, Write down your thoughts. Write down your emotions. Write down what you're going through, what you're dealing with. Put it on paper, you know, and then find out, this is the stuff that I wrote down that I'm going through. This is the negative side, but what can I do to get through it on the positive side? How can I counteract what I'm feeling right now? What can I do to make it different? And it's important. You know, I'm going for a walk today. The sun is shining. I'm just going for a walk. I'm going to buy myself some flowers today. Now, that can go either or, because sometimes buying flowers, you think about the flowers that were at the funeral. You think about the flowers, you know, or what have you. But treat yourself to something nice. Do something for yourself to uplift yourself, because believe it or not, everybody does not understand what you're dealing with or what you're going through. Everybody can't handle what you're dealing with or what you're going through. They don't understand it. They don't know why you feel this way. Why is this dragging on so long? All right, we lose people every day. But when as I said before in the last show, when you lose a child, it is completely different from losing a father or a mother or an aunt or an uncle. And we always make the statement that our children should be burying us, not us burying them. And I think it hits even harder when that child dies and it's not, you know, oh, this child was sick, had terminal illness, cancer, whatever the case may be, we knew that it was coming. No, this child went out, have a good time, hanging out with the friends or whatever, and somebody took their life. Somebody killed them. And this is what makes it hard for me to understand, because I don't understand the mind of a person who can look a person in the eye and just take their life. And then after they take their life, they go and have dinner like nothing ever happened. I just don't get it. It has sparked my interest in going to college and studying forensic medicine. I can't think of the name of forensic something or other, but just studying the mind, and you're learning what makes the mind function, why people think the way they do, what makes a person, you know. I was watching a news show the other day, and the guy said, yeah, I've killed this person, and now I'm going to have them for dinner. And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, it just blew my mind that this guy would say this, you know. But I want to understand how you just take a life. You know, when you looked in my daughter's face and you seen the life leave her body, you know, what was going through your mind? And then what was her last words? What was she saying? This is things a parent just doesn't understand. And we always ask the question, why? You may never get the answer to that question. Talk to someone who's a good listener. Whether this is to be a trusted friend or receiving some professional help, talking to someone who will give you the full attention can be very healing. People who are listeners or who want to be listeners understand you don't have to give advice every time somebody says something to you. Some people who are going through a trauma, through grief, just want somebody to listen. They just want to know that somebody is there who's listening to what they are saying. They're going to let them finish their statement, finish their feeling, emotion, whatever it is. Then at the end, and you may say something, you know, and sometimes it may not be advice. I'm sorry for what you're going through. I'm sorry for what you're dealing with. May I give you some input? May I give you some advice? Is that okay? And they may say yes or no. I just want you to listen to me. That's big. Talking aloud can help you release negative emotions and really help to process how you're feeling in a different light. Sometimes just hearing yourself talk and getting it off your chest begins to relieve that weight on your shoulder, that emotional pressure that you have. It begins to change how you're feeling. So what is anticipatory loss? Anticipatory loss involves the grief that comes before a death or a great loss. And this is what I'm saying. You'll get that phone call from the doctor, get the family together. Your loved one doesn't have very much longer to live. So you're anticipating what is coming. There can be many different losses during this time, such as role changes. If it's for a son and the father is getting ready to pass, the son has to say, okay, now I'm the man of the house. I got to take care of my mother. I got to take care of my sister. I got to help take care of the house. Even though mom is still the main priority focus as far as the leader in the house when the father passes, but as a son, it's natural for him to want to step up and help his mom get through. Secondary losses, the losses that come before death, oftentimes take a person by surprise. It is so easy to be focused on death itself, but grief can affect many other elements in one's life. Support systems don't often know to acknowledge these other losses, which can lead one to feel very alone. Sometimes you feel like, how come nobody's helping me? How come nobody's talking to me? How come nobody's advising me? Sometimes that can cause you to feel like I'm worthless. You know, why am I even here? You know, one of the issues that we're dealing with now is men who are feeling left out, because when a child is murdered or a child dies a tragic death and the news media is involved, the first person they run to is mom. When they come to the house, when they want to do an interview, where's the mother? Can we speak to the mother? And dad is left sitting in the backyard smoking a cigarette or whatever. But we want men to understand that you are just important. We want you to understand that you have feelings. We want you to understand that it's okay to cry and it is okay to grieve. As men, we tend to hold things in, and we don't say anything to anybody until the wrong time and it comes out in the wrong way. We get that feeling of everything welling up inside of us. And as soon as a spark is hit, the fire starts and everything comes out, and it comes out usually in the wrong way, because you're not mad at your wife. You're not mad at your children. You're not mad at your coworkers, but you have so much hurt inside of you. You have so much ill feelings inside of you because of that loss that you keep it bottled up. And as soon as somebody says the wrong thing or looks at you the wrong way, you want to lash out. Each secondary loss is unique and may look different for each individual. Some of these losses may include loss of a person's ability and independence, stability and security, a loss of identity and our own. Financial security, when a husband passes, or it might be a mother when they pass, and they may be the breadwinner in the house or what have you. But then you sit back and say, what are we going to do now? How are we going to survive? How are we going to make it? Understand this: when it comes to grief, there are no rules. It is important to know that there are no rules with grief. It is easy to be hard on yourself, that you are feeling too much or not feeling enough. When my daughter first passed away, was murdered, I felt guilty. What could I have done different to keep this from happening? What could I have said to her to keep her from going out? Why wasn't I there to help her? Why wasn't I there as a father to save her? These are the emotions and the feelings, some of the things that I went through. But treat yourself with extra kindness during this time and recognize that grieving is not linear. Anywhere you are with your grief is okay. You are making great strides even if you aren't feeling so. The fact that you wake up every morning is a good stride. The fact that you leave your house to go out and do things is a good stride. So don't take these things for granted. Don't treat them as small accomplishments. These are big feats. When you get out of your bed and the sun is shining, because you could cover up your head, close the blinds, and keep it dark in your room and say, I'm not eating, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not doing anything. And please understand, people deal with grief differently. Things to remember when coping with anticipatory loss. Grief before death is normal. It may feel wrong to be grieving before your loved one has died, but you're thinking about the future. you're thinking about what it's going to be like without that person around. It is important to know that it is extremely common and normal to be experiencing this kind of grief. Grief before death is not a crime. You're already grieving because you know that it's one day very soon, it's just going to be you. Or one day very soon, your child is not going to be here. Don't minimize how you're feeling. Even though your loved one is still alive, it is completely okay to acknowledge all that's going on in your life. You don't need to minimize your pain because your person is still here. Somebody calls you and says, this is what is going to take place. Nobody expects you to run around all jolly and hunky-dory and everything's like a bowl of cherries. It's not. You're anticipating that person not being here. You're anticipating what they are feeling as they're going through this transitional stage. So don't look down on yourself or think, oh my goodness, I'm a bad person because I'm thinking this, because that's not the case at all. That is not the case. You have a right to feel these things. And you also have a right to work them out. Use your available support. Who's around you? What's available to you? When caregiving becomes the number one priority, oftentimes one can feel isolated and can feel lonely. Don't feel guilty for reaching out for support. You need help. Admit that you need help. You can't do this on your own. You can't do this by yourself. Be honest with you, when my daughter passed, I did not go to counseling. I went to counseling twice. And when I went to counseling twice, I found for me, and this is just for me, it was not beneficial. I felt like I'm going to counseling. I'm sitting here talking to this person. I give them a check or cash, whatever the case may be, for maybe a half hour, maybe an hour, maybe a half hour. And when I get home, I open my door and those feelings come rushing right back because my daughter is still not home. Physically, my daughter is still not there. But what has helped me is the fact that I deal with a lot of people in our support group who are going through the same thing. And by them going through the same thing, it has given me comfort because they are able to understand what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through because they are going through the same thing. So we can talk about it. Unfortunately, I understand a lot of these people have master's degrees and doctorates and this, that, and the other, but that's book knowledge. But you cannot tell me how I feel when you have not been through it. You can't tell me how I'm supposed to get through when you've never been through it. And I'm sorry, that's just my opinion. And that's just me, because counseling has worked for others. My son was going through a grieving stage and losing his sister. And the doctor said, well, we can talk to him for 15 minutes and it'll cost you $165. And I said, 15 minutes, this boy wants to commit suicide. And you want to talk to him for 15 minutes. What good is that going to do? You know, once again, I'm not a licensed, certified, practicing doctor. You know, I'm just going based on my emotions and my feelings. And understand, you are not giving up. It is common to feel like you have given up when an illness progresses. If you are there for your loved one, you're not giving up. It is easy to feel grief when you do not feel that there's a lot more to do. You stand back and you say, this is a physical thing. I'm not a doctor. What can I do? Be there for them emotionally. Be there for them to talk to or to listen to if they're able to talk. But be there with them and hear what they have to say. A smile can help a person. Just the fact that you're there, your presence can help a person. Focus on what you are doing during this time. You know that just by you being there, you are truly helping your loved one because they can say, I know this person is here with me. And I know they're listening to me. I know they're smiling at me. Reflect on the remaining time. Think of things that bring you and your loved one joy. Through it may, though it might be challenging, it is possible to find meaningful ways to spend time if they are willing. It may be beneficial to have conversations regarding life after them and how to fulfill their wishes. There are so many things that we go through and that we deal with when it comes to grief, when it comes to death, when it comes to losing someone so close to you. My daughter and I were very close. We loved one another. And we talked to one another. We shared emotions. We shared feelings. So I just want to say to you today that continue to stand your ground. Continue to stand by that loved one. Grief goes both ways. The person who is transitioning is grieving in their own way. You may not see it. You may not hear it. But they may be thinking about, I'm not going to be here for your birthday. I'm not going to be here for Christmas. Just as you are sitting there grieving, saying, this person's not going to be here for the holidays. I want to thank you for tuning in today. And I want to say this to you. As you go through the holiday season, continue to remember your loved one. Continue to celebrate them. But at the same time, take care of yourself. Thank you for joining me today. And if you're going through this holiday season alone or without your loved one, just remember, there are people out here who love you and care for you. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. God bless. Your face is painted on the walls. I've been trying to forget all the moments that we spent, 'cause now I do it on my own. Oh, you and I were like this summer, but now it's winter here on my own.